And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday.
Expository Thursday.
As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, it's always interesting to explore teachings that challenge our beliefs as we all strive for a perfect and flawless understanding of theology. However, it's important to remember that no one is perfect or flawless except Christ Jesus. After being baptized in the name of Jesus, the disciples at Ephesus received the Holy Spirit when Paul laid his hands on them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. That is not the way that it happened in Acts 2:4. Okay, I'm just pointing that out. And that's not the way it happened with the Gentiles in Acts 10. Next, to clarify the events described in this passage, the disciples would receive the full measure of the gospel through Jesus and his ministry rather than through John. After being baptized, Paul laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Some people believe the Holy Spirit is always separate from the gospel. Others believe that it only comes when people are saved. Others believe it has to be right next to the gospel. Others believe that they're not sure, but they're going to just trust God, because here's the truth of the matter. The truth is, it all happens exactly the way God wants it to, because he's God. So get over it. And then finally, the Apostle Paul continues to do what he's always done: boldly preach the word of God and argue persuasively about the kingdom of God. While arguing for argument's sake is sinful, standing firm in the truth is not. Paul's not trying to persuade people that he's a great person, that all Christians are perfect. Instead, he's making a case for the kingdom of God, where God is king and reigns over every aspect of everyone's life.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. And yes, I know I didn't give the trivia question. I'll give it in the answer in just a minute. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, noive. So much more. Hey, remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. We're asking, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. David with a D, and it starts with a D, and it ends with a D, and there's a V in it, and an A and an I. So david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call that phone number, you're going to end up talking to Dynamite D.
Oh, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is that same feeling you get when you receive an unanticipated note, text, or email that encourages or blesses you.
It is always a blessing.
Always cool, isn't it? That's what it's like to talk to our brother D. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you've got a praise report. Maybe you got something you just want to talk about, share. It's not a kvetch fest. Plenty of room for that in other shows. It's an opportunity to encourage one another. We operate under the Hebrews 10:25. Encourage one another as you see the day of Christ, the return of Christ, getting closer and closer. It's like, man, it's a lot closer. Let me say right now, the way things are going, like, it's going to be knock, knock, he's here. Anyway, so better, you know, that idea of living as though Jesus is going to come back in the next, like, 5 hours or 10 hours or 24 hours and living like he's not going to come back for 100 years, I'd stick closer with the next 24-hour theory. Here is something I do want to communicate, and that is they also do trivia. And the answer, by the way, to the last trivia question, because I failed to do that because I was so excited about what we were talking about.
It was both of our fault, Dave.
It happens. Is simply this: who was led out of prison by an angel? And that answer was, it was either Paul, John, or Peter. And that answer was Peter in Acts chapter 12, one of the great, great texts that actually, after that, being led out by the angel, is one of the funniest portions of Scripture, when he's knocking on the door and Rhoda, the servant, goes, oh, he's knocking on the door. And then he runs back out. She runs back into the group and goes, Peter's outside. And they're like, oh, it's not Peter. It can't be Peter. It's got to be his angel, or it's got to be something. It's gotta be. In the meantime, Peter is still knocking on the door because he's a escaped criminal.
Like, way to put it, Dave.
Just like, wow. Anyhow, so that was the answer. He was led out of prison by an angel. That was Peter. So now we'll get ready for our next trivia question, see if you guys can get this one. And I feel in my heart you'll be able to get this one pretty easy. Which were the sisters who had the same husband? Was it Zilla and Billa? Was it Leah and Rachel? Or was it Hagar? There's not a second name there. Hagar or... Betty Boop. I don't think, give me another name on there. It's so weird. See, sometimes you get the book and you print it and so on and so forth. I've never had to check on more trivia questions than this book. It's amazing. It keeps you sharp, though. Which were the sisters who had the same husband? Zilla and Billa, Leah and Rachel, Hagar, or Betty Boop? That's it. I can't do any better now. Genesis 29. 16 through 28 is where you're going to want to go. If you think you know the answer, by the way, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, as well as you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We do have somebody that's going to answer the trivia question, but do you want to take them now, or you want to do the we've got to wait. Okay, so do you want to do
what
you want to do?
What are we waiting on, Dave?
Eventually I got to do our DNA.
Oh, we can wait on the DNA, Dave.
You can wait on the DNA?
Yeah.
All right, then let's send the person through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Steven.
Hello, Steven. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I really am. I'm doing well. Now, I got your text, but I didn't get to read it because I was kind of like pushing through because I messed up. But I'm looking at it, so now I'm going to let you ask that question after you answer the trivia question.
Okay. Not sure I want to repeat that one.
Okay,
on
that's fine. I get comments, I get the side jokes, I get stuff throughout the whole show. People are like, why are you so laughing? You've got to be kidding. You should see some of the things that people send. It's pretty funny stuff.
Okay.
All right, let's go into it. Which were the sisters, that's the key phrase there, which were the sisters who had the same husband? Is it Zilla and Billa, Leah and Rachel, or Hagar and Betty Boop?
Why don't we go with Leah and Rachel?
That is an excellent decision. Yes, sir. I do want to say your joke is a great joke, and it's okay. I think it's okay to tell it if you want to tell it. I mean, I just think it's a great joke, just to let you know.
So. Well, it was just a funny comment. Says, what do you get when you add artificial intelligence to a DVD?
And you get?
You get David.
you see, now why that's funny, most people don't even get it. See, DVD, right? And artificial intelligence, that's called AI. So if you add AI to a DVD, you get David.
Well, it was funny to me. But...
that is funny. Are you kidding? It's brilliant. You are a genius, and actually, I'm going to use that in the future, so that's pretty good. Thank you for your pre-permission.
Enjoy your day.
All right, God bless, brother. Bye-bye. See, that's funny. See, DVD, right? So everybody knows DVD, right? And then what happens when you add artificial intelligence, which is AI. Then you got DAVID.
That's a pretty good one, Dave.
That's a good one. I would never think of that joke. That's just
me either.
His brain is much bigger than mine, but mine's, you know, just really like in its own planet. I don't know where I'm circling, just to let you know. All right, excellent job on all that. We do need to do our DNA because it is required. Very important, by the way. DNA is kind of everything that revolves around everything. And why that is because we consider it, it's not perfectly stated, but we consider it the building blocks of what we need to be doing on a day, on a everyday basis as Christians, especially as you see weirder stuff happening. Again, I'll prophesy. Number one, the weather is going to get cooler than it was a month ago. Okay. And then number two, wait, the traffic is not going to get any better. Well, I'm on a roll here. And number three, more news is coming. Okay, I promise that's three for three. Our DNA, D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. And one of the things that this just happened to me, so I want to share about it, and nobody needs to freak out or anything. But, you know, I have a interesting structured life is kind of a nice way to put it. And sometimes when I pray, I can't get all my praying in one time frame. So sometimes I have to pray, and I was asking the Lord, I was like, you know, I hope that I'm not offending you or whatever. And you know where he took me? He took me into Matthew at the Garden of Gethsemane. So Jesus prayed, and then he stopped, and he went, he checked on the disciples, right? And they were like snoozing. And then he went back, and he prayed some more. Then he checked on the disciples again, and they were out of it. And then he came back and prayed for more. So it was really kind of comforting. So when you're praying, I know that sometimes, like, I want to pray like 15, 20 minutes or whatever, and sometimes the time gets away from it. It's okay to split it up. It's not like the end of the world. Jesus did it. I'm just saying. So that's okay. But spend separated time, because you notice where Jesus prayed? Alone in the garden. Not that you don't pray with people, but he was by himself with the Father. Get it? Go into the closet, people. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what he had to say. Never be ashamed of the word of God. Doesn't matter if somebody argues better than you, speaks better than you, tries to shame you, don't receive it. That's how you don't do. Just don't receive it. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. OPM, other people matter, which is an important part of us understanding Jesus' mission, right? In Jesus' mission, you think about this in these terms, his mission could have been self-serving, but it wasn't. In other words, he could have, hey, I need you guys to do this for me, I need you to do this for me. Everything he did was for others. That was his example to us. The Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. So we need to think in that term, in that mentality, when we're ministering and loving on others. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Okay, that's our DNA. We did that. Don't forget to be praying for people. That's very important. We are going to go briefly into Acts 19, and we're going to say something that people won't like. I'm not here to preach on tickling ears, you know, itching ears. What is it? Itching ears, tickling ears?
Tickling ears, itching ears.
That's not what I'm here for. I have my own ears. They're big. Leave me alone. Here's the point. Acts chapter 19, picking it up from, essentially, we're going to pick it up from verse 5. Acts 19:5. We talked about this last week, okay? All right. Here's how this goes. Verse 5, Acts 19. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. All right. Stop. Okay? Before you get overly theological saying, well, this means this, and this means this, and this means this. Here, I'm just going to be super nice about it. You're wrong. There were no laying on of hands when they spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2. There were no laying on of the hands when they started speaking in tongues while Peter was preaching. Okay? So in one case, in Acts 2:4, they're praying. In the other Acts encounter, Peter's preaching. So it happens while they're preaching. And in this case, it's after they get baptized in the name of Jesus and Paul lays his hands on them. Then they start speaking in tongues. So how does that work? I don't know. That's the worst. And I know you want to. No, there has to be a system. No, there doesn't. It's the same thing. Some people become Christians, and they are on fire right away. I don't know if you noticed that. Some people, they get saved. It's like the guy in the garden. You're the guy in Gethsemane, Gerardines, where he's just like, he's in the, you know, literally the cemetery pops up. He's like, Jesus says, go, you can't go with me. Go tell people. He tells people. People are getting in awe. They're just really, really wowed. That's fantastic. Other people, it's 5 years after they've been a Christian. Then the Lord goes, ding. Other people, it's 20 years. Curtis just called yesterday. He's been a Christian. He's now getting baptized. What's the deal? God is the deal. He's in charge. Stop trying to tell God how everything has to be and just go praise the Lord for the good things of the kingdom of God. And so what I want to say about this very first thing, we're not even getting out the door, but I just want to make sure we're on the same page, okay? Just getting this, right? It's interesting to explore teachings that challenge our beliefs. But in us thinking that we have a perfect theology, the greatest theologians will be the ones that say to you right off the bat, I think so. Those are the best theologians. It's not that you can't have confidence in what you believe, but there are certain things that you are not really needing to be arrogant about. And after being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the disciples at Ephesus received the Holy Spirit when Paul laid his hands on them. And then what did they do when Paul laid his hands and they received the Holy Spirit? Well, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. So if somebody gets zapped in the Spirit and they start prophesying, that's a qualifier. Doesn't matter what anybody says. And so instead of trying to tell God how it works, just go praise the Lord for people growing in Him. You're going to meet people, and they're going to have a completely different experience than you, but you're also going to know that's your brother or sister in the Lord. Hey, here's a great idea. Bless them. Love them. Encourage them. Okay. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. But I want us to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not an impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment, God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about, so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing, it's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact, the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to Scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the Scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interests, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of tough things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he did it anyway. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. This KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where I'm excited because after I give you the trivia question, I'm going to do a couple jokes. I'm so happy.
Been a little while.
You don't understand. Noelle and I were talking. She goes, you should open it up for more questions, okay? And it's like, and she's right. I should. I said, but, you know, and I will say this. The Narrow Path does an excellent job on questions and so on and so forth. So we support everybody that's doing ministry, right? I said, well, number one, I would need 2 hours probably instead of an hour, right? But it's okay to ask questions. I'm just saying. And then number two, I still have to be able to tell my jokes and do my routines.
That's what makes us unique, Dave.
She just goes, she's like, Okay, here's your trivia question. How old was King David when he began to reign? How old was King David? Was he 37, 25, or 30 years old? How old was King David when he began to reign? Was he 37, 25, or 30 years old? If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. How old? You're looking for 2 Samuel 5, if you're looking for a reference point. How old was David when he began to reign? Was he 37, 25, or 30 years old? In the meantime, we're going to do a couple of jokes. Thank you very much. Are you ready? He's ready. The first two are very short. The next one's a little longer. You'll just have to put up with it. Here's joke number one. Principal, this is the fourth time you've been in my office this week, Sam. What do you have to say for yourself? Sam, I'm glad it's Friday.
Say what?
All right. Come on. I'm glad it's Friday. It's the fourth time you've been in my office. All right, Jean. Mom, I got 100 in school today. Jean's mom. Well, great job, honey. What did you get 100 in? Jean, in two things. I got a 40 in math and a 60 in spelling.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Okay. Okay, bye. This is just a cute one. You might as well just deal with it. A nearsighted minister glanced at his notes that Mrs. Edwards had sent to him by an usher. The note read, Phil Edwards has gone to sea. His wife desires the prayers of the congregation for his safety. The minister failed to observe the punctuation, however, and surprised the congregation when he read, Phil Edwards has gone to see his wife. And desires prayers of the congregation for his safety. There you go. See, that's a cute one. You don't think that's fun? Okay. Laugh, people. It's like medicine. Laugh. It's okay. All right, back to the trivia question. Okay, I know. I'll tell a funny joke and then you can laugh. How old was David when he began to reign? Was he 37? Was he 25? Or was he 30 years old? Your answer is in 2 Samuel chapter 5, specifically verse 4, just to let you know. Back to the text we go. We are in Acts chapter 19, and we are at verse 8. And it says this, Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some people rejected his message and publicly spoke against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Okay. Not a long text in this portion right here. Don't have to go too deep into this. Trying to keep it simple. Okay. Paul continued to do what he always did, and he boldly he preached the word of God. He argued persuasively about the kingdom of God. While arguing for argument's sake is sinful, standing firm in the truth is not. So what has happened is that when somebody will say something that's not true and a Christian will take their stand in the truth, then people will accuse that person of being argumentative, bullheaded, and or whatever. And that is not the case. When you are a Christian and you have a standing in truth and somebody is like, oh, you're just being, you know, you're either being full of pride or you're just trying to argue. Or wait, here's my favorite one that people use. You're just using circular reasoning. Anybody who ever says to you you're using circular reasoning is specifically using circular reasoning when they say that. Just so you can know. I mean, I'm literally telling you, they're using the very thing they're accusing you of, because when you say, yeah, you're just using circular reasoning, there's no reasoning outside of that. It's just a circle. It's just like, and you have to literally go, no, you're using circular reasoning. Here's the truth. Whatever that is. Like, you know, we didn't come from, you know, an amoeba, because, you know, nobody's talking about this truth. It can't be one amoeba. It's got to be amoeba to, you know, double cell, then to an amphibious type of creature. And then, wait, there has to be another one just like it, but it has to also be able to produce a third creative one. And they're not using those odds, because those are uncalculable odds. It's much greater odds that there would be a creator than there would be evolution. It's so silly. It's like ridiculous. Anyway, so I'm just saying, standing firm in your faith is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. Don't be an arguer, because you, in the Jewish household, I can say this, we argued all the time. It was kind of our nature. Your Thanksgiving dinner, like I said, is our every night dinner. But don't be that argumentative person. But that doesn't mean you can't be engaged in an argument. Get it? Okay. All right. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello. This is Bobby out here in Climax.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Really good. God's good.
Amen, brother. Absolutely good. And as I'm just assuming, are you enjoying it's just not quite as warm? Are you enjoying that?
Well, for a bilateral amputee, this is like wintertime. It feels awesome. My legs get really hot out in the sun.
Got it. That's great. Oh, that's a good answer. I love it. All right, here you go, brother. You ready? Here we go. How old was David when he began to reign? Was he 37, 25, or 30 years old?
I just read this the other day. I think he was 30, and he reigned for 40 years in two different kingdoms.
That is correct, Amundo! You are right, sir. So initially he reigned over a portion of Israel, and then ultimately the unified Israel. And then, of course, after Solomon, then it became unified, and then it was a whole separate thing. So anyway, but that is exactly correct. And he ran for 30 years, which is amazing, because I think of myself at 30, and I'm thinking, I shouldn't even be trying to run a company, let alone a country. Just like, wow.
I'm almost double that, so I guess I could be president soon.
No, apparently you can be president no matter what, how old you are, and even if you're not awake. Anyway, that's how that goes. Too much about that.
I had another thing about your evolution.
Okay, fire away.
I was told that sheep cannot evolve. They have to be taken care of or they will die off from different diseases.
Great, 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 great process there. That's a great, great, great statement. Love it. Love it. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I'm a sheep. That's all I want to say.
Yeah. All right. You have a good day. God bless.
God bless you too, brother. Take care. Bye-bye. Excellent job. Excellent phone call. We're just rolling.
Love it, Dave.
Love it. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
You get into the Word of God and something's going to happen that will blow your mind. Ready? The law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 119:7 says, able to restore the soul. And I've been doing this for a long time, and in my 42 and a half years of devotions and in my diligent devotion time, I kind of separate that between the two. I cannot tell you, it must be thousands of times where my attitude has been, and then I've went into the Word of God, and I came out different. It wasn't anything that I did as much as God speaking into me what he knows about his creation. And so I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you, even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, for 60 years, nay, for 70 years, like the Apostle John was on the island of Patmos, be in the Word of God. It is alive, and it will give life and impart life to you through God's Spirit. People come and they read the Word of God and they're like, well, I get nothing out of it. Well, they don't mix it with faith. And the Word of God, the promises of God, not mixed with faith, are useless. Because you have to be engaged with God and know he's going to speak. And people are like, well, that's a lot of requirement for me to get in there and read the Word of God. You want me actually to believe that God's going to speak to me? Yes, because he will. And if you don't, you won't hear them. So when you open up that book, take 30 seconds, more than you ever have before, and say, just in this moment, just at this time, tune me in, Lord. Help me to hear what you have to say. Speak to me and let your word breathe life into me. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Here's your next trivia question. In the book of Revelation, how many horses were involved with the seals in Revelation chapter 6. Now, seals is not the animal, not that kind of animal seal, the seals that were broken. How many horses were involved? So the horse, you know, the horsemen of the apocalypse.
Kind that sounded
of.
Like Bert, Dave.
Yeah, that wasn't probably that good of a thing. With, ooh, 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 ooh. Is that better? I don't even know how a seal, if you got a little honky thing, I could do, because the seals can make
we'll
that.
We'll go with
little,
that one.
Okay. You see how deep and theological we are? I just want everybody to see. We are just, oh my goodness. All right, how many horses? Revelation chapter 6. How many horses were involved in that process there on the seals that were broken? Not the animal seals. Thank you very much. That's kind of what we're looking for. Somebody is ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. You're talking to Deborah.
Hello, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I just I just realized, though, I really can't make the sound of a seal because that didn't sound very good when I tried to. It's like, that's not right. I can't do it. It's just not. It's just something beyond me. But anyway, Revelation chapter 6, how many horses are involved in the breakage of the sealaroonies?
Oh, four.
That is correct, Amanda! Excellent job. That was a very, very good job, by the way. Did you just know that instantly because it's something you studied? Yeah. Oh, see, that's good. See, I noticed you didn't hesitate. There wasn't the guessy, you know, you are still the greatest guesser ever, but it's just like, nope, four, got it. Great job. How you feeling, by the way? You feeling good? Things are going good?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm doing really, really good, and, you know, I'm so blessed by God, and I'm just trying to live life.
Amen. That's such a great thing to hear. That's a blessing for other people to hear. So thank you for sharing that. Excellent job.
All right. Well, thank y'all for the show. Y'all do a great job, and I wouldn't go an afternoon without listening to David Spoon.
Hey, I love that. Thank you, Deborah. Really appreciate it.
All right. Have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Fantastic. She's phenomenal. All right. You know what we didn't do? We didn't send people. I'm not going to send you up to the website. Look it. If you want to give, great. If you're not sure you want to give, go back and listen to the first 30 minutes. That ought to set it straight, right? You know where to go. HeMustIncrease.org. It's a pretty interesting site, mostly. There's a couple of goofy things on there. There's every once in a while I come across an article, I just throw it up there going, that somebody's not going to like that. You think I do that on accident?
Just to ruffle a little feathers.
Yeah, sometimes I just leave stuff up there. There's one article where I go, it may sound like I'm angry, but there's love in my voice. How can you tell when you're reading something? Anyway, all right. Let's go into history. We need to do our history because that's an important part of me preparing for the show. So let's do history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, a couple things to tell you that are worthwhile mentioning today is National Cream Filled Donut Day.
I will take just one.
Yeah. Why? That's what I would say. I'd say, what? One? What is this, like a Lay's potato chip? No, I cannot eat just one. It is also Crab Fest Day.
Ooh,
I'm liking that. That's great. It's Eat a Hoagie Day.
I'll take that.
In other words, there's three big. Notice that all the good ones are always food.
Yeah, Dave.
I don't know. I don't know how that is. And then it's Gobstopper Day, which comes from the Willy Wonka movie. Not the newer one, but the one with Gene Wilder, where it was actually funny and interesting before they went nighty cuckoo. And then today on this day, 1814, the Star-Spangled Banner by Francis Scott Key wrote the poem that became the national anthem after seeing the American flag following the British bombing at Fort McHenry, and that was down in back in 1812. And then the last thing I want to say, which some people will really appreciate, which is very funny because those of you that know this, again, you're dating yourself. 1981 on this day, The People's Court, the TV show The People's Court debuts with Judge Joseph Wapner presiding.
Wow.
That's a long time. That was the first of the judges. Let's just put that there. That's not the judges in the book, but okay. All right, back to the text because that's where we need to go. And this next section is just – I don't know how I'm going to teach it, so I'm just going to do my best and just kind of go with it, just kind of go with the flow and see where it takes us. So let's pick it up back on verse 9. Is it 9 of Acts chapter 19 where it says, some rejected the message and publicly spoke against the way. Verse 9, so Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Then he began preaching daily at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for the next 2 years so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the Lord's message. There's two really interesting points here. One, Paul rarely stayed somewhere for 2 years. So that is it's kind of a long time. I know it doesn't seem like a long time, but you have an apostolic ministry like his, and your job is doing, you know, literally church planting and missionary work. 2 years was a long time for him. And so he's teaching what? He's teaching daily. Does that mean that he never took a break? No, it doesn't mean he never took a break. Could have been a Monday through Friday thing. I could have been a, you know, Sunday through Thursday thing. I don't know. But he was teaching on a pretty regular basis. And here's the kick that I think a lot of people miss. And it says both Jews and Greeks heard the Lord's message. So now I'm going to need Dynamite D to do me a favor if he can. Okay. And then, you know, if you can just read to me, I'm looking for the verse 11
in chapter,
of chapter 19 of Acts. Can you read? So I want to, and the reason is I want to focus in on this. Is it 11 that I want? No, actually, I want verse 10. See, this is why my glasses need more power. It's so sad.
Verse 10, Dave.
So it's verse 10 of Acts 19.
This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks.
Okay, that's the ESV. Now, why that's important? Because it doesn't say this continued for 2 years so that everybody in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord and got saved. Doesn't say that. It says he continued there so that they could all hear the word of the Lord, Jew and Gentile. He stayed in that area for that time. Now, why is that significant? It's significant because proclamation of the truth does not always result in people surrendering to the truth and yielding. But that's still part of the mission plan. And people don't like that because, you know, if you witness, you know, people ought to get saved. It doesn't work that way. Let me just help you out. It didn't work that way with John the Baptist. It didn't work that way with Jesus. It didn't work that way with Peter. It didn't work that way with Paul. It didn't work that way with John. And you can take anybody else's name in and insert it there. Sometimes the proclamation of the word of God is simply so that God can say, you were told. And they are without excuse. I know, people don't like that, but it's like that's the reality is not every time you share and every time you witness and every time you say something is somebody going to have an oingo boingo, super-duper response kind of thing. Just doesn't happen that way. Sometimes the purpose of the proclamation is the proclamation itself. And what I want you to understand is when you share, it's awesome because, first of all, I commend you because it takes courage to share, but you should not anticipate that every time you share, there's going to be rockets and rainbows and, you know, the earth's going to shake. And it doesn't work that way. Sometimes the Lord just wants the word spoken. The prophets came and they spoke often in the Old Testament, but you know what's so funny about that? It was only a few times that the people responded to the prophets. Yet the proclamation had to be made because when the judgment came, then they were without excuse. That's when I know, it's just one of those weird points, but still important. Okay, we're going to take our break because this next section is superbly weird. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
You don't know what's going to happen in 1 minute, let alone 1 hour from now. And God, who it's impossible for God to lie, has made this commitment, made this offer, made this opportunity to both you and me and all of us around. The simplicity is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that the wages of that sin, the wages falling short, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God, demonstrating his love for us, sent Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There is nothing more important than that principle right there. The hope that is offered to believers who acknowledge and surrender to the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what's being offered. That's what gives you encouragement. That's what enables you to go on. You're going to have a lot of sorrow in this life. Job said it best, a man's days are few and full of trouble. but in the next there is something so wonderful that even in man's mind we cannot retain it. For eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither can the heart comprehend, can't even receive the great things which God has prepared for them that love him. There's such a great thing that's coming for us, such a great place, such a wondrous place. But you got to acknowledge the invitation. You got to say yes, because if you don't say yes, you're not going to that wedding, the wedding of the Lamb. Don't be that person. Don't be that person that rejects it. Don't be that person that lives in sorrow, in grief, and in sadness. Don't be that person. Be the one that says yes, so that you can be a part of the great wedding feast, that you can be a part of the great celebration. No, life is much more than this 60, 70, 80, 90 years. It's eternity on the line. And if you've already said yes, rest in the comfort. Rest in that place. Rest in that goodness. That all is well. And even on this side, if it's hard, on the other side, it's glorious. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. And here we go, your final trivia question. What was the name of Aaron's brother? There you go.
Missed that one. You better go back and read it again.
What was the name of Aaron's brother? Okay, there it is. There you go. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, one of the reasons that I broke right almost on time, which is weird for us, is because this next section is like wowzer bowser. So I wanted to make sure we did the trivia, gave people a chance to answer, you know, give them that response, and then we look at this last portion and go, oy vey, because that's part of the fun of Scripture. And one of the things that came across, I'm going to share this kind of a personal thing. One of the things that came across was simply this, and that is a theologian that I really like, who's alive and, you know, just a great theologian. But he said something that was like, wow, I can't believe he said that. And it has to do with understanding the power of the Word of God. If you would take the time when you're reading to never try to read in simple obedience, but to hear the voice of God speaking to you, listen to me, one verse at a time. I mean, this is I cannot say it any other way. If you would slow it down, I do the show really fast, right? Right? When I get into the Word, the one thing, the one grace that I have that is definitely not from me is I super slow-mo the Word. Why? Because remember, it's God speaking. There's so much. That's why.
So many nuggets. And we read, David, try to speed through. But, like, yeah, we talk about this on the show all the time. Sometimes you got to slow it down. It really sticks to you.
Just you would be so – I mean, in four words, I found something I never saw before in Genesis. And it's like, and I've read it so many times. And it's just like, are you – how did I not – that's what I always say to myself. How did I never see that? That's the biggest – that's the funniest part of all of it. All right, so somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, David, it's Dr. David. I'm sorry. I need to say, Dr. David, this is your little brother.
Hello, little brother. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I want to tell you, talking to Dynamite D is like inviting the fall in Texas.
What was that name?
Say it again. Say it so he can hear it.
Talking to the Dynamite D is like inviting the fall weather in Texas.
See, there you go. So
I'll take it.
Take it. You betcha. All right, my brother. All right, you got to answer the trivia because we're going to get into some deep teach in a second. So let's get into the trivia question. I think you'll know this without even blinking. Wait, don't blink. Okay, good. All right, here we go.
Oh.
Okay. What is the name of Aaron's brother?
You mean Moses' brother Aaron?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. It's
Moshe.
Everybody who asks that question goes, "What? You know, who's Moses' brother?" It's like, what about Aaron's brother? He had a brother. It's like,
good one.
How you doing, bro?
I wanna encourage everybody. I'm praying, and even this morning, I believe God reminded me around 6 o'clock to pray for people, and I did, and I'm gonna keep praying for the people that I told them. And I love you all, and just wanna encourage you that the Lord is our joy and strength, so we're gonna rely on His strength and His divine touch and His healing. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
And,
good
and
job.
In advance, happy Rosh Hashanah to people.
Yep. Amen, brother. Amen. Great job.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Excellent job by our little brother. Here we go. Ready? Here we go. Ready? All right, this part right here. Oh, you're not going to like what I say about this, but you got to remember, I love you. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. God gave Paul the power to do unusual miracles so that even when handkerchiefs or clothes that had touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and any evil spirit within them came out. Okay. This is where... Okay. Let me, I could teach on this for a long time, but I don't have the time. So let's just go over each thing real quickly. Paul, God gave Paul. Did Paul earn this? No. Did Paul obtain this? No. Did Paul deserve this? No. Did Paul, he should have had that? No. God gave it to Paul. Let's just start there. Where does it come from? God. Who's doing it? God. Who's in charge of this? God. Gave power to Paul to do unusual miracles. Can I just say, real quickly, every miracle is unusual. So this is trying to tell you really unusual. You know what I'm saying? Like, in other words, a miracle is not like, oh, yeah, that's normal. It's like, no, it's not. But then if it's getting an extra adjective added to it, you just know, okay, something is going on here. And then it gives you the description. Even when the handkerchiefs or clothes that had touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their disease. Let's just stop right there. I want to know who was the person who said, I'm going to swipe Paul's skin and take this to a sick person. Or did Paul say, I'm going to take this handkerchief and swipe my skin, take this? I don't know. It doesn't tell you that. But it just makes you think, what kind of process was that? You have to think, this is how bizarre it can get. And so listen to what's being said. After Paul's preached for 2 years proclaiming the gospel, which, like we said, is a long time for Paul, because he usually speaks shorter and moves on. During this time, God gave Paul this power of unusual miracles. A handkerchief or clothing that touched his skin were placed on sick people. They were healed. Evil spirits were cast out. Wait, don't you got to talk to the spirit? I don't think the handkerchief talked to anybody. I'm going to go way on a limb here. I don't think when somebody put the handkerchief on somebody, the handkerchief opened up and went, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. I don't think that happened. That's because there's nothing in there to say it happens. Now, there's people that dismiss this as fantasy, which is amazing because it's recorded in the scriptures. Now, this is the part that people won't like. Hey, if God wants to do this now, are you going to stop him? I'm just asking, are you going to tell him no? That's not the question. You know what the question is. Who will believe and have faith in God for this? The sad answer is not very many people. That's the sad answer. You can't get any more out there than this stuff. And by the way, listen to this. It was placed on sick people, and they were healed of their disease, And any evil spirit within them came out, which, by the way, in the Greek is connective, which means it's they were healed of the disease and the spirit came out, which does tell you that evil spirits do cause disease. Not every disease, obviously. Sickness and illness oftentimes is just the result of sin, but sometimes it's a result of satanic oppression. Think about the woman who was bent over for 18 years that Jesus cast the spirit out of. She was bent over for 18 years. We'd all say, oh, she was a humpback. She was this. She was this. Whatever she was, it was a spirit-induced illness. It's like that happens. And so what's amazing about this is, I'm going to say this as nice as possible. It's not like Paul pulled out like a brand new handkerchief and then pulled it out of the bag and said, this is a brand new handkerchief. I will just dab my skin a little. Now take this and shall it go and cast out demons and heal people. This is just God doing what God wants to do. Just remember this. He used a donkey to rebuke a prophet. There's nothing past the Lord. And what this should do is heighten our level of expectation on the reality that God does miracles. In Galatians, it says, does he work miracles among you? Not did he work miracles among you. He still does weird stuff today. But you know what's cool about that? Because he's in charge, you can just go, wow! I have a lot of questions about this. This will be one of those things you get up there and you go, okay, I want to see the guy, the handkerchief. Oh, the person got healed. I just want to know, because you know the handkerchief didn't talk. So it's just like...
But David reminds me of the woman who touched Jesus' hem.
Yep, same, right? Okay, but this one was sent.
A little bit extra.
Somebody didn't cut Jesus' hem and send it to another city. It's like, you know, it's like, what? This is what this should tell you. Okay, and some people go, see, this is a greater miracle. No, it's not. Greater miracles is more in number, not in quality. Jesus raised the dead. That's as far as you're getting. Okay, so just stop that. Here's what it should tell you. God can do anything. All things are possible to him who believes, because with God, nothing is impossible, not even your situation. Get it? All right. Well, we're done for today. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.